Okay. I'd like to call us back to order, and the last scheduled hearing is on the College of Education and Human Sciences, the proposal to eliminate undergraduate teacher certification in K-12 art education. And the first speaker that we have scheduled is Marjorie Moss, director for... And forgive me if I mispronounce names.
No, you did it very well. My name is Marjorie Moss. I serve as director of Nebraska for the Arts. Our state advocacy organization focuses on arts and arts education funding and policy. I testify today to express our board and our membership's concern and disappointment related to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln's FY12 proposed budget reduction. All the arts and humanities programs, visual arts, classics, and organ, slated for elimination concern our board and membership, but I come today to emphasize the K-12 art education program. If the plan to eliminate that program comes to pass, we should appreciate that the declared freshmen will be able to finish their course of study at UNL, a change from the original reduction plan, as we understand it. Thank you. The UNL campus has outstanding, unduplicated resources to train the art educators of the future. A top-tier studio art faculty combined with an expensive collection of Sheldon Art Museum and Sculpture Garden. Heritage Lincoln's vibrant art community that provides a compelling environment for prospective art education students. UNL is the largest campus as well as a flagship campus for the university system and should be a leader in recognizing the impact of arts education on young people. UNL has the responsibility to provide the top quality art students to pursue a teaching specialization in visual arts. And there's also the broader issue. The proposed elimination of the K-12 art education program and the other cuts to arts and humanities training could signal a larger liberation throughout Nebraska. Specifically, eradicating the training of visual art educators in the state's major educational institutions sets a precedent in devaluing arts education, a field that trains innovative, creative minds for a 21st century workforce. Research shows that students engaged in the arts garner higher standardized SAT college entrance exam scores, number of truancy and dropout rates. Learning in the arts is uniquely able to boost learning and achievement for young children, students from economically disadvantaged circumstances, and students needing remedial instruction. U.S. Secretary of Education Arne Duncan has recently said, at this time, we are making critical and far-reaching budget and program decisions for the upcoming school year. I write to bring to your attention the importance of the arts as a core academic subject and part of the complete education for all students. The Elementary and Secondary Education Act defines the arts as a core subject, and the arts play a significant role in children's development and learning process. The arts can help students become tenacious, student-oriented problem solvers who are confident and able to think creatively, Mr. Duncan said. Our membership underscores how a complete education includes the arts. Art education is not a specialized area of study that can be offered at only specific campuses or colleges. It is fundamental. UNL has defined the performing arts resources, which have been supported financially by many, to train art educators. Who better than our state's flagship institution to address this fundamental subject? Our organization and its members across the state of Nebraska respectfully ask the Academic Planning Committee act and plan to preserve funding for the K-12 art education program and urge you to reconsider this cut as well as the integrity of classics and organ instruction. Thank you for this opportunity and the opportunity to represent our membership. I'm more than happy to field any questions.
Okay, thank you. Why don't we hold questions? Why don't we hold questions until the very end, and if the speakers could maybe sit in the front row until we fill it up, because we have quite a few speakers. Our next speaker is Jean Detlefson.
Thank you for bringing us together today to talk about this significant change in how business has been done in the state of Nebraska. Today we attended the role of art education for individuals, the state, UNL, and the circular nature.
Nature of art education as a facet in the whole of university programs. artifacts, and the conception of innovation in the 21st century. This individual is a graduate of UNL who chose to attend this campus.
This campus rather than other campuses in the state. I earned a BFA.
Jean earned a BFA, a master's in arts, and a PhD from UNL. She's a Nebraskan who has taught in every size school district in the state through employment at an ESU, a K-12 building, a Class A high school, a community college, and the Nebraska Department of Education. And she's currently a lecturer at UNL preparing future art educators. As a member of the profession, she's been involved in art education in the state and nationally. From 1986 until 2001, Nebraska programs
in the visual arts education were granted over $6 million from the Getty Education Institute in the Arts, the Annenberg Foundation, U.S. Department of Education, the Nebraska Humanities Council, which charitable funds and other forms. Nebraska attained a national. A national reputation as a demonstration, research and development site in comprehensive art education. International and national visitors came to participate from China as well as multiple state agencies and programs. As a Nebraskan art educator and a member of grant program leadership, I had the pleasure of working with K-16 program to connect Nebraska with our future Big Ten partners at Ohio State, Penn State, as well as other six participating views. As art educators, we value individual solutions and voice. Today, individual stakeholders believe that they can make a difference, even though the decisions may have already been framed. As a member of a profession, I learned that a group of individuals from unique perspectives can work together to find multiple solutions to challenging problems. This group of art educators who came here today believe that together we can find a solution to the finances and problems that have been posed as to why art education may be kept in the university program. We are passionate about the arts and their potential to change lives and engage students and to impact every facet of the university. Art educators think outside of the box. We problem solve, think critically, and depend on our skills to be innovators. I felt that I never needed to defend art education until I returned to the University of Nebraska in 2001. The learning and success within art education research over the past 15 years in Nebraska was set aside. Within this time, UNL had allowed three tenure lines in art education to fade away. Art educators no longer had a place at decision-making tables at UNL. Graduate students and year-by-year hires took over teaching responsibilities. Her coursework devoted to future art teachers and elementary teacher programs. With grant money shifting and the nation still focused on No Child Left Behind, quantitative-driven agendas that consumed our resources, the interests of decision makers in this university. The proposed elimination of the K-12 art education program is based on selected quantitative data and UNL budget reduction. I have provided a response to the qualitative data provided as support for elimination of the K-12 art education program. The narrative offers examples of trends over time in student population, revealing that many post-bac students as undergraduates have earned K-12 art endorsement. Students enter the art education program as undergraduate and post-bac students. They often enter the program as junior transfer students from other departments to universities and their work experiences. In 2011, 20 students are beginning the program. The trend is in increased numbers continues for the next 2 years. For 3 years, the projected graduation rate is significantly higher. Those students are grateful for the program has been extended through their graduation date. Throughout time, UNL has held on to the mission and values of the land-grant school. They have supported art education through low enrollment and economic and political tensions to guarantee students with wide choices of courses and career options. to expand the scope of their dreams and ambitions. When the AAU University standing was reported, Chancellor Perlman suggested the importance of the review committee to engage in a second stage qualitative process to make decisions. He recognizes that in that setting, the selected data may not reveal the total story of impact programs. Therefore, I offer a glimpse of the stories of individuals. Students enter the ART program with diverse experiences. However, they come together around their interests, skills, and passion for making art as they learn how to teach and can be a form how they can teach artfully and stand next to their work in and through the visual arts. Together, they build a professional community that lasts a lifetime, a belief system that is supported by theory and language that invites them to successful classroom practice. As the land grant tradition creates for the University of Nebraska-Lincoln a special statewide responsibility to serve the needs of Nebraskans and its citizens. The art education program has traditionally provided leadership across the state and beyond. Since 2001, UNL graduates are teaching in schools across the state, including the following: Hyannis, Scottsbluff, Lexington, Waverly, Hampton, Papillion, Seward, Wallston, Elkhorn, Grand Island. Two are in Columbus: Fremont 2, Westside 2, Miller 2, OPS 5, OPS 14. Other graduates since 2001 are teaching in Montana, California, Texas 2, Missouri 3, Kansas 2, Wisconsin, Illinois, Colorado, Florida. One student is currently teaching in Paraguay with an additional teaching experience at OPS and Seoul, South Korea. Another student has taught at OPS and is currently working in Belarus, Venezuela. Stories that have surfaced in the last week image UNLR students as most prepared student teacher, the four-year classroom teacher, talks about their strengths and their professional leadership in a very early career. To tell stories of these graduates in the last few weeks, I heard from Emily, who teaches in Paraguay. She needs to help to publish a paper in ELL and the importance of the arts. She comes back to UNL for that strength and that insight. Last week, four of the students who love to write curriculum before graduating this spring went to OPS to work beside teachers who have classroom experiences over time, that they've lost the theory, they've lost the curriculum design that OPS is working with. And this triangulation of thinking about curriculum has changed not only what those students can do, but also what those practicing teachers, and it becomes a staff development role. In the traditions of the profession of art education over the times of grants and working in depth with people across K-16 borders within this state and others, today we have an opportunity to restate UNL's commitment to art education. If art education is core to K-16 environments, we need to make sure that we know why. How might we create a research agenda that asks the questions of the importance of the arts in K-16 learning environments? What do the arts contribute to student learning, critical thinking, problem solving, abstract thinking, cognition? How might that research be framed by educational psychologists, administrators, teachers across disciplines in conjunction with museums and collections? How do the arts serve as a lens for ELL students? As this program calls for a rebirth of having people working across disciplines to rethink how we might interrupt the thinking in No Child Left Behind. I recently watched a fourth grader walking down a book parade saying, chanting his chant was, read more books, take less tests. It is in this university site with programs in arts education and similar programs that we have a chance to fly in the face of No Child Left Behind, looking for better solutions to K-12 school settings. The last major research agenda in the visual arts in Nebraska was studying through the eyes of Professor Emeritus Fred Wilson. He brought Penn State grad students in a steady stream for 10 years. They They still have moved, those residents have moved to colleges throughout the United States. They remember Nebraska's strengths, and it started with individuals such as myself and others in this room. What is left? What is the legacy for UNL? Will the banner read, will the newspaper article say, what the UNL legacy is, that UNL saved 27,000 by cutting art education? Or UNL has found multiple paths to classrooms and learning through art education, interdisciplinary research, and innovative thinking? Thank you. Sorry for the...
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Our next speaker is Chris Feldstein. Thank you.
I'd first like to thank you all for this opportunity to speak, present my views on this matter of the proposed cut to the art education program. As you just heard, my name is Chris. I'm a senior in the professional teacher education program in the art education endorsement. I plan to graduate next May. Also, before I get any further, I'd also like to point out that from the earliest news of these proposed cuts, those of us that are in the methods level courses of this endorsement or above were told that we were all but assured that we'd be able to complete our degrees as normal. So for myself and the other students that you're going to be hearing from today, all of us are here because we believe in the merits of this program, not for any personal reasons. So to illustrate these beliefs that I have, I will tell you of my personal journey through my education in the hopes that my story offers insight into this program's importance and value. So I know you all have a lot to consider, but I hope that I can help you see something that maybe you didn't see before. Until fairly recently, I was never a good student. As early as elementary school, achieving the classroom was a struggle for me, not because my school was too difficult, but in fact the opposite. I was not being challenged enough for me to care about education or learning. So I was a kid that disrupted class because I finished all my work and then was bored and had nothing to do. I didn't ever really do homework because it didn't have any meaning to me. I spent most, if not all, the day at school wishing I was anyplace else but there. This continued into middle and high school, where despite being placed in higher level classes in subjects like math and science and taking some AP courses, I still just could not be made to try or care about school. I would usually quickly comprehend whatever concepts were being taught, whatever class I was in, and then just as quick bounce back to being bored and having nothing to do. In subjects generally that are considered tougher, like physics or calculus, years of indifference in my education would really catch up to me, where I'd miss out on some critical information by not paying attention, not doing homework, not studying, and then I would later come back to pay for that on tests. And ultimately, all this really took its effect on my grades in high school. I graduated with just above a 2.0 GPA, which is pretty embarrassing for me to say right now. And that also led to the first real-world consequence of my kind of lack of focus in my education, which is where I originally applied to the U.S. Air Force Academy, and my application didn't even make it through because the governor wouldn't sign it. That's how bad it was on paper. So I was really lucky to be able to come here to UNL, but my weight didn't change when I first got here. Enrolling as a mechanical engineering major in a cadet in Air Force ROTC, my first semester saw even new lows for me. I had to drop one of my classes because I didn't even show up for it the first couple weeks. I ended up finishing my first calculus class with a D, and within ROTC, I ended the semester ranked near the bottom within our cadet class by those of them. So even after that, I thought everything was fine, that it didn't matter, that I was on this quick path of flunking out of college, and that there was no real reason for me to do anything different. But I can tell you now that 3.5 years later, I've more than turned myself around. I stand before you completely satisfied with where I am academically and in my performance in all my classes. This semester, I marked my fourth time being on the dean's list, and I'm on track to graduate with an A- GPA. Within Air Force ROTC, I've been armed with multiple awards from within our unit and national organizations. I'm currently ranked number 2 of 23 upperclassmen cadets in our professional development course. And I recently received a highly sought-after slot to train to become a pilot after I graduate in interactive duty. So at this point in my life, I feel completely confident that I will have a successful future and know that I'm capable of anything that I want to accomplish. So clearly, I've done a complete 180 in my academic and student professional life, but this is not about me. This is about the reason why I was able to turn myself around, and that's why we're here today to listen about this program. Somewhere along the line, my second semester as a freshman, I was considering changing my major and first heard about this art education program and pretty arbitrarily decided to make the change. And honestly, I was pretty skeptical at first. I didn't know what to expect in the studio art courses or what I'd be doing in teacher education classes, but I quickly found myself truly engaged by my education for the very first time in my life. I found myself solving unique and complicated problems in my first series of visual literacy art classes. In my first batch of educational psychology courses, I delved into science based with open-ended concepts where it was up to me to make my own connections to the material. Instead of regurgitating information on tests, I was creating new things with my hands and mind. Instead of having all the answers given to me in a lecture or a textbook, my class necessitated discussion and student thoughts. I was finally being presented with challenges on a regular basis that I could respond to. Over the last 3 years, my coursework has gotten steadily more challenging and complex as I've moved into the more advanced studio classes and the methods classes within our program. Additionally, finally having success and direction in my education has allowed me to perform better in those classes in my general education that follow the more traditional forms of instruction that I struggled with previously and really could not respond to before joining this program. You've heard from a couple others so far, and we'll continue to hear from more about the importance of art education within students' overall education. So I offer my story as a testament not only to the quality of this program and how it can produce successful students here at UNL, but to the importance of how an education focused on the arts can have a large impact on learners in any area of their life. There are many students out there that have true potential that it only needs to be awakened, and this is a program that I think it's pretty obvious that it has that power. But from my unique position as someone who is studying art education, but plans to have a full career in the military after college, I can draw direct parallels to students who take art classes in primary or secondary school, but may not have any plans to use the process that they learn in those classes or study arts further. What is learned by both studying the arts and art education goes far beyond simply learning how to make things. My education in this program has taught me many things, some of which are to take non-traditional routes to solving problems, to connect abstract thoughts with concrete principles, to critically evaluate existing solutions and ideas, and never be satisfied with taking the easy path of following directly in the footsteps of those who came before me. Given the full opportunity, free college students can begin to learn those same skills and traits, and I don't think that there's any other subject within a person's early education that can make that same claim. My involvement in ROTC has exposed me to nearly every academic major that the university has to offer, and I can tell you with complete sincerity that I value my education in this program more than anything that my peers have spent their years in tuition money learning. This program has given me more than any particular institution or entity in my entire life, and that includes the military training that I've gone through at this point. Without this program, instead of having a bright, successful future to look forward to, I can tell you right now that I wouldn't be here. I would have dropped out of college probably in my first year. So I truly hope that my story has made some impact on your views of this program here and its ability to create successful professional individuals who will then go on to have extremely positive effects wherever they go in their lives. Thank you again for this opportunity to speak for you.
Thank you very much. All right, our next speakers are a trio of graduate students, Andrea Jenkins, Caitlin Isom, and Nate Perez.
I'm Andrea Jenkins, and I'm a postbaccalaureate art education student. I continue on to my master's degree within art education.
I'm Andrew Perez, and I'm actually an undergraduate senior art education major.
First, I wanted to share a little bit with you about some responses we had from the community through our Facebook pages and events that we've had to raise awareness about the situation.
When the news first came about that the art education program was going to cut the certification program, one of the first things that the students did in the methods class was that we had decided that we would start to raise awareness through Facebook. Unbeknownst to us, there was another pre-art education major in a studio class of mine that was in the ceramics course this last semester, and she had also had heard about it prior to our hearing of it, and she had made her own fan page as well. So we have two fan pages, so set about. The first one was Protest for Art Education at UNL, which has 613 people who were part of that fan page, who liked it, as what it says on there. Our fan page that we had developed for the methods class was Save Art Education at UNL, and that has 179 people there. I was also part of the planning committee in which we put together the First Friday Outdoor Gallery, which happened this last Friday on the 6th. And part of that committee was to put together an outdoor gallery at Scooters on 11th and L. And part of the rationale that I had for that was that it would be outdoors and it would be a symbolic act of what happens to those who are in visual arts. Those who are thrown without space are out there to fend for themselves in the elements. And part of that event was, one, to raise awareness for what's going on for the art education program to the community, and two, to just make a public statement about what was going on with us. Prior to making that event at that moment, the decision was made that if you were not part of the methods class, you were not going to be able to graduate through it. The other event that we had was called the Spring Canvas Game, in which we went to a spring game in which we had a large canvas that people could sign in support for the art education.
We have really positive responses from the general public for all of our events, and we had over 100 people come to this event on Facebook, the First Friday event, and we had hundreds more that came by to voice their support and to help us with our outdoor mural, and we also had coverage on channel news. Just an overwhelming response to the general public, just really supportive of art and art education, and feeling like that if there was a need for it at UNL.
So this was part of the responses that we had on Facebook events, that we rallied not only the art education majors and the fine art majors on this issue, but we also raised awareness with the community. But one of the questions that we have, and as Chris has already vocalized, is what is the impact upon the students? And this last semester, I was part of the practicum at Bryan Community Center, and a lot of those students came down to the First Friday Outdoor Gallery, and they were very passionate about what they had and about what sort of visual literacy program that they have at Bryan, and what sort of impact does that make to the local community of Lincoln for the LPS program?
The students, we had all interacted with these students at the Bryan School as part of our practicum this semester, and they came out to support us and the program, and they were students that took time out of their, busy high school Friday nights to come support us, so it was really cool. And we're just going to go talk a little bit about our own personal stories. I received my Bachelor of Fine Arts degree from UNL in 2005, and I had a really positive experience in the Fine Arts Department. After I graduated, I moved to New York City, and I worked in a non-art-related field and continued to work as an artist. I took art classes through various organizations. I exhibited my work at different places. I did teaching a drawing class in two locations at a community center and an alternative art school. I volunteered with art organizations, so I really got involved as being an artist, but I wasn't really sure what I wanted to, next step I wanted to take in my life. I knew I wanted to continue going to school, and I wanted to get my master's degree. So I eventually started looking at Master of Fine Arts programs. I thought that was the next step I wanted to take. I applied to schools all over the place. I was originally from Nebraska, and I wanted to maybe get a little closer to home. I was getting a little burnt out on living in New York, and it was a pretty intense place to live, and to be trying to be an artist. But it ended up that I was only accepted to one school, which was Brooklyn College, which is the one school I applied to in New York. And although it was an excellent program, and I was really excited to go to that school, I just didn't feel like it was the right decision for me, for my life. like I said, I wanted to be closer to my family, and then I was thinking about the Master of Fine Arts degree, and I just didn't feel that I could focus on my own work for that long a period of time. I felt like I wanted to expand more. I wanted to help other people learn about art. I just didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do. I just felt like the MFA degree would be kind of self-serving for what I wanted for my own life. And so I wasn't really sure. I decided to come back to Nebraska for a year and be close to my family and defer from the program and just think about it and think about what I wanted to do. But once I got here, I was really happy to be back in Nebraska, and I decided that I didn't want to do the MFA, and that I wanted to stay in Nebraska. Then I continued to think about other options, and that's when I looked into UNL's post-baccalaureate program in our education, because I always knew about that program, and I had always in the back of my head kind of thought about our education, and that might be a good option for me. So in a short amount of time, I was able to apply to the program and start classes, and during the semester that I had with my co-students and my professor, Gene Ellison, I really became passionate about art education and knew that this is the right thing for me to do. And I know that I can bring a lot of my life experience to be an art teacher, and I just know that if it weren't for UNL, I don't think that I would probably have ended up going into art education. So I think that if this program is here, this my same situation could encourage other people to become art educators.
For myself, I already have an associate's of human services. I work in the Lincoln Public School System under the Special Education Department. And after that degree, I have worked for about 3 to 4 years in the Lincoln Public School System, and well aware of different situations there. I was working with severe and profound, all the way up to mild, in special education through the voice program. But one of the things that was lacking in that, and I enjoyed the teaching aspect of it, and being a paraeducator to the instructor that was there. But one of the aspects that was missing from it that really needed to speak to me was the intellectual aspect that I could communicate with the students, and that the students could therefore communicate. And I had a great time there, but I needed to leave because there was something else that was urging me. And so when I came back and decided that maybe I could go into the studio arts, and then after taking a few studio classes, I decided at my turn for art education and took a couple classes there. And it was there that I started to, also my mind started to expand, because not only was the teaching aspect available there, but there was also other areas of problem solving and design. Curriculum design is one aspect that fascinates me. And the way that the curriculum is taught to me is a lot different than some of the other universities that I got. Recently, this last semester, we went to Carnegie, where we had a convention with other art educators from UNK and UNO. And most of my cohorts that were from those universities there, they were particularly interested in the technicalities of art, making sure that a student can technically maybe crosshatch in a drawing, or maybe apply paint in a colorful way. But that's only one aspect of problem solving in the arts. There is much more variety in the critical thinking that is involved and that is needed to teach in an art education program. And that's one of the things that I feel that university has provided. It's not just the critical thinking and teaching of the technicalities, but also curriculum design, how to teach, and to interacting on different levels with the students, based individually and as a community in the classroom. One of my new heroes in reading for arts education is John Dewey. And one of his aspects that he talks about is the aesthetic experience is in which a community is defined by and a community will be ultimately judged by in the end. And the question that I want to ask for the university is, what judgment will you have? I understand there's all these programs and all these budget cuts and the recession and everything that's going on. But as far as the community for the university here, as far as Lincoln goes in Nebraska and the number of states that Gene has already described, what are we going to say about our program? How are we going to attract people to this state? Instead of students leaving the state because there may not be much here. How are we going to build a community in the state? And in what ways can we do it with instruction? And in what ways can we do it with the visual form? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, our next speaker is, our next group is going to be a group of student teachers. Maggie Peterson Elsner, Chris Goddard, Kelly Sechrist, Mike Trotter, Megan Mueller. And even though you are a large group, you really have, we've allocated you one group slot because you requested a one group slot. I know that this is all very important.
We will be brief.
Thank you very much. And I see you handed out a brochure to all of us.
Yeah, just real quick.
Thank you.
My name is Mike Trotter. I'm an administrator. We finished our student teaching as of Friday. We are in the job market. But what you have in front of you is a brochure we put together, how we feel that this potential federal job program and it has further implications. So we will kind of read you a synopsis, and then each give you a very brief description of why we chose UNL above other universities in the state, because the way we understand it, there are 13 other universities in the state that offer the same program. What we're saying is we chose UNL for a reason, and that reason, I think, will become self-evident once you give us a chance to talk with us.
Thank you. I'm going to read the short testimony that's in the brochure on the call. In cutting the secondary art education program at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, beneficial for UNL students, Lincoln School, and Nebraska as a whole, our answer is no. Art of education is transformative, both for the individual and for the community. Art education fills the lives of students, our schools, and thus our communities with complex discussions, creative risk-taking, inquisitive minds, and moral action. Our education is unique. Lincoln is too. The secondary art education program at UNL draws students because of the vitality and impact of its content, the progressive vision of its teachers, the strength of UNL's resources, and the support of the Lincoln education and art community. In cutting secondary art education, a vital intersection of academics, research, teaching, and art would be gone. Elliot Eisner illuminates the impact of this intersection when he states that work in the arts is not only a way of creating performance and product, it is a way of creating our lives by expanding our consciousness, shaping our dispositions, satisfying our quest for meaning, establishing contact with others, and sharing culture. The secondary art education program promotes the values of freedom of expression, critical questioning, and social awareness. The program demands the constant renewal of these values through the creative process, inside and outside of the classroom. Teachers and students, both at UNL and in future K-12 classrooms, take their experiences from the creative process home. And as a result, cutting the program will create a huge void in the lives of those students, families, and communities. We count ourselves among those who will feel this void. You will too.
And my name is Mike Trotter. I'll start. I'm a post-bac student. I got my BFA from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln in 2007. And moved away, became a graphic designer, but wasn't happy with where I was in life. I was missing my fine arts background, and I had to take a second to think why I was in arts in general and why I wanted to continue that lifestyle. And I thought of my college professors at the University of Nebraska. The sculpture program in particular has world-renowned instructors that not only produce excellent work, they inspire others to produce excellent work. The ceramics program, as previously mentioned, has world-renowned instructors. And I wanted to
inspired the way they did to me. So I decided to come back to the University of Nebraska, paying out-of-state tuition, and become an art teacher. And I believe, regardless of the decision made today, I will become an art teacher and hopefully inspire others. And I think this decision, it has further reaching implications than us for people behind us, because the students that I've had to really have the opportunity to interact with in the Lincoln school system, for example, I tell them I'm the University of Nebraska. I tell them about the experiences I had at the University of Nebraska. I tell them about the instructors I have. So I'm pushing the University of Nebraska. I also think the teachers I get to interact with, I mean, I learn a lot from them, but I think they learn from us as well. As previously stated, we help with curriculum writing, and I think it's this teamwork, this joint effort between us and the community of Lincoln that helps the art program, not only at the university, but an attitude around Lincoln.
I'm Maggie Peterson Elsler. I'm also a post-bac student. I'm finished on Friday, also in the office. I was attracted to coming to UNL for a number of reasons, particularly the College of Education and Human Sciences is a strong program as an education program. And I feel that the art education in Norseman area is part of the idea of having a comprehensive education program as a whole. The other classes I took, not only methods classes for art education, but methods classes in cognitive psychology and adolescent psychology reinforced and prepared me for entering the classroom. And so that was one of the reasons coming to UNL. Also, as a community, as a university town, I feel that Lincoln can really support university and working with the schools and the arts community. It's just a very strong program. And that was one of the reasons I chose to come to UNL. I finished my undergrad in 2005 in Chicago. I lay in Miami for a while and then came back. but I chose to come to Lincoln for a reason. Many of the reasons you stated earlier, the other reasons why.
Yeah, I went to college both in Oregon and Minnesota. I tried to get as far away from Nebraska when I was 18 as possible. And what I learned was that was a giant mistake, because Nebraska and Lincoln is an amazing community. And as a young adolescent, I wasn't appreciative or really understood what it had to offer me. And so I came back to Lincoln specifically to go to this program, because I knew of its reputation, I knew UNL's art reputation, I knew Lincoln's art reputation with Sheldon and the gallery sort of flourishing community that's happening here now. And I mean, I can say for a fact that it's changed my life for the better. I'm thinking I've now found focus and a passion in teaching. I just finished my student teaching. I was at Huntington Elementary, which is a Title I school in the Northeast, and my experiences there have given me a drive and a focus that I could not found anywhere else.
I'm a little different. I came here right at 18 years old, and I came here because I didn't really know what I wanted to do. At 18, I don't know what most people do. But I had a lot of older friends that said great things about UNL, and I just had this idea that they offered everything, and I fell into just art education, and it put like a focus in my studies, and it was, you know, life-changing. And it's disappointing now, because I'm one of those people that 18-year-olds are looking up to in the student teaching experience. And they keep it, you know, they ask you, where did you go to college? I met UNL, you know. Well, maybe I'll be an art teacher. Well, sorry, you know. So that's kind of it's hard to tell those kids now that they won't have the same experience that I did. Yeah. I should probably that's what I'm trying to say. But yeah, I didn't come here because it's something that I knew about. I just came here to say.
towards the Central Steps and the rest of the region. So I hope that.
Candy, thank you very much. Yes.
My name is Chris Gators. I'm from Hastings, Nebraska. I graduated from Hastings College, majored in history, minored in studio arts, art history. I have a master's from here at the University of Nebraska in history. I moved here from Hastings. I could have easily stayed in Hastings, could have easily gone to Hastings College to get an education degree. But I decided instead to move back here to Lincoln because I really enjoy Lincoln. I really enjoy the campus. I just always felt inspired walking around the campus. I really like the professors and instructors I worked with when I was here before. And coming back, I don't regret at all returning and working with a variety of new instructors and meeting some incredible fellow postbaccalaureate students here. Just great classes all around, the EdSci classes, the ethics, all of just the variety of classes we have to take to be prepared to teach were incredibly helpful. And then the art curriculum and education classes with Gene Devilson were just wonderful, helping me to draw on my history background and then to draw on all this other information I'm getting from all these classes. It was just incredible. And I can't say anything about any of the other colleges. I know Hastings College has a good education program too, but I know just from my experience here that it would be a shame to cut this program.
Thank you. Okay. If you want to stay close for questions, we'll finish our speakers. Guy.
Scott Drayman.
Drayman. Thank you.
I have really one point that I wanted to make. My name is Guy Drayman, and I'm a professor in the Department of Teaching, Learning, and Teacher Education, and my specialty is actually literacy education. So art is something that is connected to it. It's definitely not foreign to me, but it's not what I do day in and day out. So it's really a difference in the idea of speaking. And I'm also a elementary education coordinator, so to a degree I'm speaking from that perspective as well. And my main point is that one of the criteria for thinking about what's being cut and what's not is whether it has an impact on other programs, the kind of things that happen on campus. And you heard a little bit about what other programs that happen on campus, but I think that there's going to be an impact on students who are not in the K-12 arts program. It's going to have an impact on students who are in the elementary education program, probably the secondary education program as well. These students work together, they interact in a variety of ways across the classes, and there's a richness that comes from the way of thinking that happens with art specialists that doesn't necessarily happen naturally with students who choose to specialize, whether it is in elementary education or math or anything else. So my point is that it is going to take away from our other programs. And as we think about, and I know Margaret Joy is going to talk about this a little bit more, we just talked about that. When we talk about preparing students to teach in the 21st century, critical thinking, multiple ways of expressing ourselves, these are important points that will be at least to a degree lost for us.
Thank you. All right, and then we have Margaret Lau.
Hi, I'm Margaret McIntyre-Lana. I'm an associate professor in the Department of Teaching, Learning, and Teacher Education. My own teaching, research, and scholarship is at the intersection of the arts, curriculum, and teacher education. Personally, I will be impacted by this cut. Arts education students are my graduate students. But more worrisome to me is the programmatic impact and the long-term significances for how we are framing education. Obviously, in times of economic constraints, cutting programs is a given. And as Chancellor Crowan said, we will not be better for these cuts. I agree. As a land-grant university, I know we will be shortchanging Nebraskans of the experience, of the expertise and resources UNL can offer as the research institution in the state. This expertise and associated resources are found across our university in the Hickson Lee College of Fine Performing Arts, with artists holding national and international presence and reputation, the Sheldon Museum, housing world-class collections and acting as a rich teaching resource, the Great Plains Art Museums with tons of cross-disciplinary connections. And within the College of Education and Human Sciences, there's the Robert Hilstead's Textiles Gallery and the renowned International Quilt Studies Center and Museum. There is nationally and internationally respected scholarship and expertise within the Department of Teaching, Learning, and Teacher Education and the College of Education and Human Sciences that's committed to the arts in education and the education within the arts. What I think we need to do is cultivate a shared vision for arts education, drawing across these rich resources, because K-12 art education is not just a part of a program. It's an integral part of the education of our children and the youth for the future. A White House panel report released just the other day, May 6, 2011, titled Reinvesting in Arts Education, Winning America's Future Through Creative Schools, makes the case for expanding access to arts education. The President's Council says, and I quote, envisioning schools in cities and towns across our nation that are alive with the energy of creative thinking and fresh ideas, full of art, music, and movement. My home department should be a leader in this effort in Nebraska and enable schools to have arts teachers that substantively understand and can act on the lived curricular consequences, creating the needed circumstances for learning in and through the arts. Research shows that children learn in many ways. We heard that through the stories of students talking about their programs today. If education is limited to one way of knowing, their learning will also be limited. The arts provide alternative ways of knowing. As distinct disciplines, they uniquely engage the senses, stimulate the imagination, and broaden our children's understandings of themselves, their connections with others, and the world in which we live. The arts can be rich opportunities to operate at the highest level of human cognition. In addition to the unique learning access through in-depth art experiences, the arts are seen as tools for the teaching and learning of many skills and concepts beyond the arts. The arts also provide a place where children are encouraged to take learning risks and meet personal challenges in a safe environment. This opportunity is especially important for children who feel marginalized in any way. Arts classrooms are often cited as the reason some children stay in school, allowing these students to grow in different ways, gaining self-confidence and esteem. But arts education includes both learning in and through the arts as a vital part of any school curriculum. It ought to be a vital part of a teacher education program invested in the whole child. There's a cost for good arts education. We are the institution best positioned to do so in the state. There's an equal or greater cost to not providing a good arts education. The habits of mind and the understanding developed in arts education serve to help our children make a life worth living and develop highly desirable characteristics for citizenry and employability in the 21st century, including creativity, integration, synthesis, and internalization of thinking, imagination, adaptability, and embracing diversity. Rather than cutting K-12 art education, we need to invest in it. A shared institutional commitment is needed to develop a vision for arts education. Given the value of arts for learning, the ability of education in the arts to nurture the qualities necessary in the workplace of the 21st century, the need for creative uses of and content for new technologies, which artists provide, the central role of the arts in the well-being of communities, the capacity of the arts to respond to and embrace the movement of globalization, both affirming distinct cultures and understanding others.
So I urge the institution to reconsider this proposed cut and take steps to ensure that the arts education is a fundamental and sustained part of teacher education at UNL. Partners will be needed to achieve this vision, both from the community alongside the arts resources and expertise within the department, college, and across the university. There's definitely a cost for good arts education. As I said before, there's an equal or greater cost to not providing a good arts education. In my opinion, we are vastly underestimating the consequences that extend much beyond our institution to the lives of our children, youth, and the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Dean Castelli, did you wish to speak?
My job as the dean is to try to put this all in some context for you. So I'm going to be telling you some things that are a little bit like what Dr. Oliva told you. No one in the College of Education would choose to cut K-12 art education. You don't choose to cut nutrition or English education or athletic training. None of that is what we want to do. But we are facing some extraordinary times in the state of Nebraska, and I would like to tell you a little bit about that. I'd also like to tell you that in 2003, 2004, and 2005, I was sitting where you're sitting now. So I know what it's like to contemplate significant budget reductions, which include the reduction of programs, preclude student access to programs here on our campus, and which also include the elimination of faculty, and in our case, tenured faculty. And I appreciate how difficult it is to be sitting in your seat, because on this side of the microphone, there's a lot of anguish and a lot of wishes that things weren't as they are. The testimony so far has focused on the quality of our program, on its worth, and what people want. And those are all very important things. But the other side of this is the cost and how we pay for what we have. Here's what it feels like for me, a rather benign example, actually. I used to be able to go and pay for programs with a certain amount of money. I don't have that same amount of money anymore. I have been dean at the University of Nebraska in two different colleges for 11 years, and I've experienced 9 years of budget reduction. Just in the last 5 years, the College of Education and Human Sciences has given up over $2 million of its money in permanent cuts and in one-time money. You don't make cuts like that and not impact programs. But we've done pretty well. People have really stepped up. We have expanded class sizes. People teach extra. We have gotten our advising center to the point that we are averaging 400 to 500 advisees per person. We can't keep stretching the dollar of doing more with less. It has its own insidious impact on students, and not on just a small number of students. I'm responsible for 4,000 students and 250 faculty and staff members in the College of Education and Human Sciences. and we are pledged to give the best education possible. And I am saying to you that I've got $20 worth of programs in my shopping cart and $10 to spend. Nobody lets me walk out of the store with that extra $10. We have to find ways to reduce the burden and the stress. And so, unfortunately, program reduction is one of the things that have to be considered. I said of a non-example grocery cart, $20 worth of stuff, $10 bill. But here's what it really feels like. I'm a sailor on a ship, and people are falling overboard, and I do not have enough life preservers for everybody. So I have to make choices. Chairs make choices. Dr. Oliva said, we get a number, and we're asked to we are asked to find a way to meet that number. Our number was $500,000 if we take a 5% cut. 1% into my budget, I'm where Jack is. I'm a tenured faculty. I'm in programs where we have hundreds of students. So I am not quibbling with the fact that our K-12 art education is absolutely vital. It is. But I do have to say that we do have some principles that we use as we try to think about these things. And I have given you a little sheet. This is from an overhead that I've used in talking with the college about principles. Some principles have been vetted at the department level. They have been vetted at our faculty advisory committee. They have been vetted with our chairs. We don't go out and say which program should be cut, but we do pledge to follow these principles as we think about program reduction. Right now, since 2007, we have averaged 5 undergraduate students per year graduating with a degree in K-12 art education. We have had another 18 students who have gotten their certification through the post-baccalaureate program. So this is a small program. Small doesn't mean not important, and small doesn't mean not good quality. But it is a smaller program with a primary focus right now on teaching. Jean gave some very important testimony when she said that over time, this was a department that had tenure stream faculty in art education. And over the years, someone said UNL chose. Well, UNL is us, and our department, and our faculty. And over time, this program has evolved to where it is today, where it has less, we don't have tenure stream faculty members in the actual certification piece. I'm going to say the practical supervision piece. And those are choices that have been made, not because these things aren't important, but other things have bubbled up. English language learners education, for example. English education. Math and science education. We have a lot of things that we would like to provide our students, but we're really at the point where we've run out of money. This is not just a UNL problem, though. I would like to say that to you. This is a state of Nebraska issue. There are 14 programs in the state of Nebraska that provide certification in K-12 art. This is a place where we should really be talking and saying, where are our best resources? And of course, I would be very prejudiced and tell you they're right here. And if there is a K-12 art program we should be preserving, it's here. But we aren't given that choice. That's not how things work with the legislature. It's not how things work with the coordinating commission. But I am telling you, this is the beginning, I think, of a whole series of encounters like this that we're going to have over the next few years as we see public support for public education reduced, a portion of state funding go down as we try to control tuition costs. We really have a situation where we have more programs, perhaps, than we have students. and where we are not making choices with the most informed and best choices as a state. I don't exactly know how you catch the ear of people about this. I have personally written to the education committee about these kinds of things, but this is the next thing on the horizon, I believe. So I'd like to close just by saying to you, no one in CDHS wants to cut K-12 art, but we are down to the nose. We are really reaching the point where we don't have any good choices left. There isn't staff out there to be had. There isn't some extraneous program. One of the things I wish the most is I had some awful program that I could put forward and just say, great, we're going to get rid of that awful program. But you know what? We don't have any. We have really good programs, programs you can be proud of, students like this that you can be proud of, and faculty that you can be proud of. But we have $10, and we have $20 that we need. Well, so.
Thank you. Other questions, John?
In your statement here, you say that this is a relatively small number of graduates. Relative to other programs here at UNL, or relative to other art education programs across
relative
the state?
To our own programs in the College of Education.
Do you have any idea how large those, any of those other K-12 art education programs are?
We know that Kearney has a relatively, I understand, a somewhat larger program. Perhaps my colleagues in the arts councils or other colleagues could tell us about that. So no, I'm not going to say it. I would be happy to get that information. But there is relatively small in terms of our own program, other programs.
I can somewhat respond to that.
Thank you, Jean.
We just had a meeting at the state level, and this year, with 26 students, 1,400 graduates this year, we have the largest group across the state. And it has shifted at different times, and there seems to be this floating about that Kearney has a larger program, and that just is not true. And in the documents received through this process, the people at Kearney have written in support of this program remaining. They're not seeing a way that it necessarily would improve or bring people to their program.
Thank you.
Other questions from the committee?
Kind of along that same lines, are any of these other programs at the 14 other institutions, or the 13 other institutions, are any of those on the chopping block that you're aware of?
No. Our understanding is no.
I have a different understanding in the fact that other institutions who had 10-year lines are replacing by adjunct staff. And so, yes, that is true that there are some problems with that. UNL now has two adjunct people taking on that role who are retired or teachers. Wesley is. Many of the people, and I just happen to be the person who represents higher education in arts education, and I can go about the different institutions with retirement. And with economic strife, all of the institutions are experiencing some kind of problem with that. And then the other part is it's difficult to find people sometimes who are even responsible for the art institution.
What I would say, though, is the University of Nebraska-Lincoln is the only one that has identified K-12 art education for reduction. But what Jean has said is also what
is also true.
Is also true.
Justin,
do you have a question? I think one of the specifiers earlier said there's a rumor or some information that students might not get the opportunity to finish their program. Can you talk
sure.
to that?
All students, and you'll see that very first paragraph there, all students will have an opportunity to finish the program. let me just explain that in education, in many of our programs, we have a pre-education path, and then students are officially accepted and they become education majors, whether social studies education or English education or art education. Initially, when this reduction was being explored by the university, there was a sense that, of course, everyone who was a major, we would complete. That is part of our, that's part of the ethos here at the university. There was perhaps not the same understanding that pre-education majors would finish, because there's a sense that they're just getting started and they might be able to choose other things. So we did announce that it affected 19 students, and we did have our advisors contact those students. Well, and you might get students certainly let us know that we that wasn't the best path from their point of view, and so did their families. And after some conversation about this with Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs, Leisinger, we agreed that we would just do all of the students. So anyone who is in pre-art education, art education, or who has transferred to UNL, and it's not the actual campus yet, but who has transferred to UNL with the notion of being in this program, will be served. It means that we will run this program from 2013, so that we will complete all of the students. Something else is that some of the courses that are taught that are for the elementary students, which is which have to do with integrating arts in the curriculum, will be maintained. So we won't be doing K-12. If this goes through, we wouldn't have a K-12 art certification, but we would have those courses that are integrated into elementary education, and some of the graduate education courses that are taught by some of our faculty would continue to be taught, because they're not necessarily art education courses, but they have to do with the arts and the role of the arts in education. And those would still happen.
Molly?
Well, I have a couple questions. Maybe Chris can answer this. I mean, it sounds like students who are doing this certificate take a significant part of their program, I guess, in the College of Fine Performing Arts through your courses. What's the, or any, what's the breakdown of that? I mean, the majority of your program there, the majority of education and sciences?
I think we take 33 studio hours. I think it's been around 10 studio classes plus 4 quarter classes that you take before you get into those studio classes. So I'd say it's maybe 1/3 over there, 1/3 in CHF, and then 1/3 is like the general education.
And then in our situation, it's from the post-bac, we got our BFAs first. I've taken 81 credits in the fine arts department, and that's a lot of artists fall back as well. Like, they need a real world job, and so that's another, that's another niche department where they get their art degree first, and they come back to the education certification process.
So then my other question for you, Dean Kasonic, is that the part of the principles of this budget reduction process are to kind of stay away from the core mission of the university, of which undergraduate education is a primary component. So, in your own mind, is there a way to rationalize this, or was it just a lose-lose situation?
When we talk about the core, we also talk about, the notion of programs that we're a land-grant institution with a three-part core. And that core is teaching, research, and outreach. So when we're talking about the core, we're talking about the programs in our college that address all three facets of the mission. So that is a teaching facet, a research facet, and an outreach. Some programs that are also very important and valuable programs only address one of those. So they're a little further out. They're not as close to the core. And some programs are the furthest out, and they're enrichment programs. Just a few years ago, I was here, unfortunately, when we had to make a reduction in the Nebraska Human Resources Institute. And that was an example of a program that was much further from the core. It was valuable, it was high quality, but it did not produce students' credit hours. It didn't have necessarily a holistic research purpose or the same outreach purpose. So that was a program that was further away. So while we're talking about the core and those principles, we're talking about programs that address all three facets of the land grant mission, teaching, research, and outreach.
I made an observation that it seems to me that a lot of the testimony we've heard from many different people from the arts community is giving voice to a pretty significant outreach visibility.
It's giving voice, Miles, I think, to an important impact. But I'm saying that as a college, we don't conduct a lot of outreach necessarily as part of our program, perhaps in the same way we do with some of our other programs, like science education or math education. I'm not saying we don't do any. I'm just saying that we don't have as many people in arts education. It's very difficult to ask one or two people who are trying to keep an instructional program going to also do a whole big research piece and do a whole big outreach piece. It's one of the challenges that we have in some of our smaller programs. That's what I'm talking about.
Dominic, you kind of touched on this earlier, but is there an elementary art education certificate? Or, I mean, what's being cut in the K through 12? Is there can
right.
you get a K through 6 certificate? Or is
not in our college, no. K through 12 certification through the State Department of Education.
What is the demand for people with this certificate, both in Nebraska and
Michigan? One, I should say our students get jobs, and I'm pleased about that. But I also have to tell you at the federal level, this is considered an oversubscribed profession, and also in the state of Nebraska, it is at just NEET level, is how I would describe it.
Is it fair to say you were infected by No Child Left Behind?
All of education has been infected by No Child Left Behind. So let me just say it that way.
Okay.
Any further questions? Go ahead, speak. This is for questions from the APC right now. We'll have an open mic in just a few minutes. Right. Further questions?
I'd like to thank you, and I'd also like to say to our students and our faculty, I think that you can see we have really high quality both in our faculty and our students. This is a really painful thing that the university is going through. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank everyone who spoke to us. Do you have a question, Justin?
No.
Okay. Thank you. All right, that concludes our scheduled testimony. We do have open hearings, which should have started half an hour ago. And what I would like to do right now is just take a 5-minute break, I think, and then see how many people would like to speak to the open hearings. And then we'll just stand up and stretch, essentially. And if anyone would like to speak to the open hearings would like to identify themselves, we will hear you. Thank you.